Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Let's tell the world all the things we've done. Falling in love in the setting sun. I've got a song and a smile so bright. I'll make you wish.
34 after the hour now. DJV, Doug, Jen, and Victoria on the air. I'm looking at the onion. And in their typical fashion, they poke fun at everything. Their latest poll suggests that 89% of the people who watch these debates turn in to the television solely to see whether the roof collapses or not. And then they get to the serious side of things. And so I will ask the two of you, Victoria and Jennifer, because you both have different perspectives on politics, although you're more and more seeming to agree on some of the important issues. Is this election really pivotable? Say it again, Doug. There. Pivotal. That too. To women. Is that a news media concoction? Or are there really, is it really paramount that female voters pay attention to what's going on here? And I suggest that only because I think some of the issues are completely distorted, as you know, in the basic news media. But I think there are a lot of women who are genuinely concerned, whether for good reason or not. That depends on them, not on you. It's not for me to say whether that's important or not to you. It's not me who's making the decisions here. It's you who's making the decisions. And I would have, if I were a woman looking at this, in a cursory fashion, I don't know that I'd want to vote for either one of them. I don't want to vote for either one of them for lots of reasons. And that's maybe just one of them.
That's what's really strange about this election cycle is that 8 years ago, President Obama running as the first black president was able to open up huge new blocks of voters that went out to the polls and were excited about electing somebody and something history making. Mm-hmm. And what I think Hillary Clinton's people had banked on was the fact that she'd be able to go in and open up that same group of voters, except females this time, right? Women, because everybody would be excited to elect the first female president. But that momentum, that enthusiasm to go to the polls, it doesn't seem like she's able to tap into it. And I think part of it is that she has such a murky past, and there's just not a lot of transparency. And I think people are sick of that from politicians. And I also think millennials, and I'm just speaking for myself, but Victoria, I'd be curious for you, because you're a millennial. I'm not, but
you're on the cusp.
I'm on the cusp. Yeah. But when my parents raised me, I never felt like I couldn't be president. Like, they raised me to want to go and be whatever I wanted to be and told me that I could be whatever I wanted to be. And so I think when you're tapping into this, it should be a big deal that we have the first female president. Yeah, it should be. But I think that tends to be more of a big deal for women who are maybe in their 50s and 60s who kind of went through that revolution of female rights, whereas younger women are like, well, my dad told me I could be a president, the first female president.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Yeah, I don't really think that the woman, the woman card, as Trump keeps calling it, I don't really think that's that big of a factor. As a female voter, Doug, answering your question, I am very concerned about women's issues because there's going to be a Supreme Court nomination from whoever the next president is. Mm-hmm. So that is, there are a lot of female voters who are very concerned about that. And that is something that will touch the millennial voter for sure. That is, women's rights is, if it's either Trump or Hillary making the decision for the Supreme Court, truthfully, Trump doesn't worry me in that sense, but Pence does. Pence scares the absolute crap out of me in terms of his voting record on women's issues. And if you're a woman who's not somewhat intimidated or angry at the way that he's voted and the way he leans, I don't know. To me, that's the scariest part of this whole election.
Okay, so here's maybe my perspective. Sliding backward is not something that I think, even if the candidates are as bad as they are, I don't know that we're going to slide backwards. I think the practical side of this is more economic than it is social. That's my read on it. I think that for all of my life, Victoria, I've heard people say, since Roe v. Wade, that there were going to be decisions made that would change that, and the Supreme Court this and the Supreme Court that. I will tell you that it is my honest feeling that if that actually ever happened, there would be, that would be the cause for a revolution in this country, a wholesale revolution in this country. So I don't think, I think Pence is a Neanderthal when it comes to his views on women's rights
and gay rights. I mean,
social, yeah, just social stuff.
Just, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, look, Doug's right. There's nothing that's going to push you back in time. Once you give someone, you know, such huge rights and freedoms, it's really hard to take them back and go, oops, just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, but look at all the states that have overturned stuff. A lot of, I mean, it's on a state level.
But that's how the country's supposed to work, is that things, people are allowed to govern on the state level.
The federal government has taken over all these things, and they shouldn't have, they have no business being. It is,
right.
But it ought to be, even on a state level, it ought to be up to you and me individually as to how we do this. The government has no play or say in this kind of stuff. And yet,
well, it does, but it shouldn't.
Taking it now. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It ought not to have any play or say. Let me just ask you one more question, both of you, because I remember hearing this from people who were my age when we were in college. And so you both have different perspectives. So I'm not going to, I just don't want to, I don't want to taint your answer. Let's say.
I love that word, by the way.
Taint?
Taint.
Yeah, it's a great word, isn't it? Yeah. So let's just say that you, your father is a Republican and you're not. You're in college. And you, when it comes to discussion of things like this, I'm sort of reminded of the table in the Blue Bloods where the family gets together and we have these conversations. And you're ashamed of your father or your mother or somebody in your family who's a Republican until they get out into the real world. College kids seem to uniformly be, you know, and maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. They seem to find reasons to be ashamed of their of their parents. And one of them often is, my father's a Republican. I wasn't. My father was, I was more of a Republican than he was when I was a kid. I ran the Republican. There were three, there were three members of the Republican club in my high school, and I was the president of the club.
But, super popular, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, it was very, very popular. Massachusetts, as you can imagine, during the Kennedy era.
But, oh, Jesus, Doug.
I never told you that before. I thought I told you that once before. Anyway, so there were people. I remember kids talking about their parents, and they didn't know anything about politics, but they knew that they were supposed to be one way, and that's kind of maybe what it is. You were supposed to be one way if your parents were the other way.
Yeah, you.
And how many of us change our mind about those sorts of things? We get out of college and go to work and feel or sense the real world. I'm not talking about Pence's kind of politics. I'm talking about economic republicanism, if there is such a thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I've actually watched it with my cousin, Stephanie, the one that just got married. And, you know, when she first started, when we would start talking about politics, when she was in her late teenage years, early 20s, it was always, oh, we have to do this for the people and we have to do that for the people. And it was always very, very progressive, very liberal,
like,
very, even bordering on Bernie. Now she's like in the real world and she's, you know, trying to start planning for a family. And she's like, I can't vote for anybody who's going to raise my taxes. Hillary Clinton's going to raise. I mean, now when you're out there and you're starting to earn money and you see, and Rich McFadden makes a really good point about this. If you actually had to cut a check to the government when you get your paycheck every week, we would be in an uproar. Right now, the government just sort of sucks the money out of your paycheck and you don't really see it go away. You just kind of look at your pay stub and go, oh, okay, this is what I make. If we had to write a check to the government, oh my gosh, there would be a revolution in this country.
Right. Yeah. All right, so what about you, Victoria, when it comes to your parents? What sort of political world do your parents live in?
My parents are very, very liberal. And so I grew up in a very Republican town, so we were like the outcast family.
The outcasts of Poker Flat, ladies and gentlemen, here she is.
Yeah, I grew up it's a little town in New Jersey, and they call it the Irish Riviera, and it's all Irish Republicans. So, which is that's a whole separate breed of Republican.
Sure.
And my dad being from Ireland, everyone just assumed he was one of them, and then he was not. So, we grew up going to cocktail parties and things where it was a constant, you know, chatter, a slam against anyone that we were in favor of. So mm-hmm. I'm just used to it in that sense. Mm-hmm. But we were all banded together and we all still share the same beliefs. So I didn't have any sort of rude awakening. But financially, fiscally, yeah, I was never one of those in college Bernie kids like, you know, oh, let's give it away. And, you know, I was never right. like that. I think I had more of a centrist kind of view on things.
Practical
and I
side.
Still am that way. I really am. I'm incredibly socially liberal, but I'm much more fiscally in the middle.
Yeah.
Which my right. Republican friends tell me, oh, every liberal says that. But I actually am.
Well, but I, well, the reason I bring it up, and as I listen to the two of you intently every day, this is not a show like most of the shows that are on radio stations, the other shows that are on the radio stations that carry us. This is not a politically focused show, and I will guarantee you after the election's over, you ain't going to hear nothing about politics unless the world comes to a complete standstill as a result of
that
some
we might
stupid,
have to talk about it. If the apocalypse is pending,
yeah, right,
we may have
yeah,
to talk
might.
About it.
Yeah.
Okay.
it's interesting to listen to the two of you, and this is why I have these conversations. It's for the benefit of those who think there is such a disconnect and a discord between people who have fundamental beliefs that are here and people who have fundamental beliefs who are here. In fact, when you have a conversation about it, most of the time, if you have any ability to articulate any thoughts at all, and you are able to think as well as articulate your thoughts, you will find that many of your thoughts are similar. They aren't discordant. They aren't different. And this is one of the reasons I think about my own genius here. Thank you. And I'm saying that with a smile because you stumble onto stuff. But I heard something when I first heard Victoria that I knew would work with Jennifer. And that's why I put the two of them together here, because they both have different points of view, but they're respectful of each other's point of view. And when they talk through the stuff, and this is for all of us, if you talk through things, you're usually going to find stuff, more stuff you can agree upon than you disagree upon.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes me so crazy, because people get so angry about stuff because they're not listening. You can't right. listen with your mouth open. It doesn't work. Mouth closed,
well,
ears open.
It also goes with the level of respect, too. I mean, so often, and our, you know, the, what really ticks me off is that a lot of our politicians like drive this behavior in us because yep. it yep. only benefits them. And that yeah. is to yeah. make politics into a team sport. It's either, you mm-hmm. know, him or her, Democrat, Republican, black or white, like everything in our life lost, like we've lost the gray area now. Everything mm-hmm. has to be so polarized in one way or the other. And what stinks about that is that for anybody to change anybody else's mind, you have to be able to have a dialogue with somebody, and you have to be able to do it in a way that they can actually hear what you're saying. And the way these politicians are now sort of kind of pitting us against each other, you can't ever get anything
nothing good.
Done.
Nothing yep. good comes of it either. All right. So much for that. All right. Let's have a couple of words from our favorite sponsors, and then we'll move into the next zone of conversation here with DJV, Doug Steffen, Jennifer Horn, and Victoria Killen on the air.
Hi, this is Jennifer Killen. Horn from On Air with Doug, Jen, and Victoria. As one of our valued listeners, your opinions matter. We'd love to hear your opinions. Just log on to djvshow.com and click on the survey button on the homepage. Tell us why you listen. Tell us about yourself. Tell us what you think. And as a thank you for completing our survey, we'll enter you in a random drawing where five lucky listeners will win $300 in cash. So go to djvshow.com right now and click on the survey link. That's djvshow.com.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So how many brains do you have inside that head of yours? And yep, it's a trick question. The answer, 4.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
No, it's not weird. Not real. It's actually quite normal.
That's right, 4. There are 3 inside of your head. Okay, I'm getting technical. But based on the laws of encephalization, your brain grew from one part into 3. But here's the rest of the science. New research suggests that we have a 4th brain hiding somewhere in our abdomen.
Oh, now you're just being crazy.
This brain is responsible for digestion, which is an act so complicated it needs its own specialist directing the activity. Now, what's the cheap psychological trick? Well, have you ever heard or used the expression, I have a gut feeling? The truth, you probably do, and you got a specialized brain to help you monitor it. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Today on App Check, vegetable photograph collection will leave you speechless. 9 pictures of... Are grapes really a vegetable? Vegetable photograph collection...
Struck out.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Jeff Weinstein started The Counter, a custom-made burger joint with 3 simple goals.
To earn a good income.
To serve customers great food at a good price.
To have a place to take his wife for dinner.
Customers flocked to his place. He started franchising. Now he's in over 35 locations, and that created a problem.
He struggled with work-life balance. Then he got a big idea. He used his strengths to custom build his life.
Now he flows like soda between his personal and professional worlds.
At home, he often gets ideas for work and vice versa. He pays attention to all the important people and priorities in his life all the time.
Use your strengths to build a life on your own terms. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This former MVP led the NFL in touchdown passes in 1974 and 76. He's a 4-time Pro Bowler who led the Oakland Raiders to victory in Super Bowl XI. So where is Ken Stabler now? After retiring, Ken became a broadcaster for a CBS NFL telecast before moving to radio in 1998. In 2009, the University of Alabama announced Ken would not be returning following his 3rd DUI arrest since 1995. Ken has managed to stay in the spotlight, even appearing on a tailgating episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
So here we are, Oakland, California, hanging out with the Raider legend, Kenny Stabler. Now, Snake and I are checking out all the tailgating, Triple D style.
Kenny Stabler, still partying hard. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.